the unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth, the seldom measured, even in 100,000 myriad problems. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amish to the Buddha, Amish to the Dharma, Amish to the Sangha. Mahayana Buddhism, in its long history, produced a vast wisdom literature. The fundamental teaching of which is the teaching of shunyata, the immaculacy of nothingness, immaculate emptiness, immaculate voidness of self. One can approach the subject of shunyata from many different directions. Today I'd like to just say a few words about the way in which the world, our life, our existence helps us find and take refuge in that great immaculacy. All living beings have wants. And at the basic level of survival, these wants are connected with our needs. If we don't eat, we starve to death. If we don't get sufficient shelter, we can die from exposure in very cold or very hot conditions, and so on. Of course, there are innumerable kinds of wants when you look in detail. Some of them related to survival, some of them related to things that do not help us survive, but are actually detrimental to our survival. But one thing we can all know, and we all come to know through experience, is that the world is not set up to cater to our wants. And then we find this in many ways, on many levels. The more wants we have, and the more insistent we want, the more insistently we want, the more the world presents us from time to time with big surprises that show us, if we're willing to learn the lesson, that the world was never set up to cater to our wishes. This very simple fact of our life, which we all know through experience, perhaps the very young don't know it, and it's very easy to insistently ignore it. But everyone in the end finds out something about this truth. But in this very seeming stubborn tendency of the world to run contrary to our wants, there is a wonderful gateway to wisdom. If our wants get sufficiently frustrated, we're more likely to be driven to look for a refuge on a deeper level than external things. And when this happens, as we come to experience this refuge, wanting gets enlisted in another direction. The direction of stillness, the direction of the precepts. As soon as we start to experience that stillness of meditation, whether it's through formal meditation or through some happenstance, we just seem to kind of stumble across it. Whether we know it or not, we are starting to experience the immaculate heart of things. We're starting to experience that which lies beyond good and evil, right and wrong, wanting and not wanting, greed and hate, etc. And the very difficulties of life can, if we are willing, encourage us and even drive us at times to taking refuge in meditation. Refuge in that great immaculacy, refuge in the eternal. One of the many names we give to that true reality. Therefore, it is a good thing that life does not cater to our wants. And while this is rather cold comfort when we experience some of the really hard edges of life, it is still far better that we live in a world that is like this than that we should live in a world that would somehow accommodate to our every wish and our every whim. Thereby encouraging us in every way to think that we are God, The fact that we can come to know that we are not God can help us seek God. And ultimately seek not in external things, but within our own hearts. Therefore, everything that reminds us that there is more to life than our wants and the satisfaction of our wants is for us, for each of us, a bodhisattva. The boss who isn't as fair as we think the boss should be. The neighbor who burns rubbish and makes it hard to breathe sometimes. The elected official who sometimes seem determined to upset the apple cart rather than keep it running properly. The terrorists, the criminals, all the parents and teachers with their good intentions who under the very difficult situations of doing their job sometimes reveal their humanity in ways that their children find difficult to comprehend and endure. The dog that bites, the weather that brings famine, all of these things and many, many more are bodhisattvas pointing to something that we can choose to look toward or not. I'm definitely describing a school of hard knocks. I haven't even mentioned death and disease, old age, infirmity of so many different kinds. Suffering and pain itself. Yet imagine, try to imagine a world without these things. You know, we don't have to go out trying to make more of them. There's plenty to be getting on with. But try to imagine a world without them. What kind of world would that be? Well, I guess it would be some kind of heaven. From the time I was a little boy, my thought of heaven was always, I think there's sometimes wisdom in a child's naive speculation. Very often there's wisdom in a child's naive speculation. Well, that might be nice for a while, but how boring would it get if it went on forever? We have something better than heaven, something incredibly transitory. The older one gets, the more one realizes how short our life is. And yet that transitory little life is in fact a window onto eternity. Eternity of a different kind than a kind of personal heaven. An ocean of immaculacy.
Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.